Good morning. A couple weeks ago, we had a lesson on We Need a Hero. And since that time and been thinking about those thoughts, I've been looking at the life of Jesus a little bit more in my own reading. And I want to share something with you. If you have your Bible, we'll open it to Luke chapter 7 this morning. And just by way of introduction, just again to give thought to, you know, not too long ago, the ESPY Awards were conducted. It's a sports award program that talks about different people in different categories that excelled in sports. And they have an award at the ESPYs called the Arthur Ashe Award of Courage. And last year it was given to a man who, Michael Sams, who came out and said, I'm a practicing homosexual. And because of that, he was awarded this award of courage. This year it went to Bruce Jenner. And because he decides that he wants to live as a woman, and that by at least our culture is worthy of, you know, well, that is worthy of an award. If those are the kind of heroes that we have, and that's the best that we have to look up to today, we need better heroes, and we need people to look to, and we need not look any further than Scripture itself. Jesus is the role model that we need. He will challenge our courage. He will challenge our compassion. He will challenge the way we care for people. He'll challenge our convictions. He'll challenge our ethics. He does all things well, as Mark told us as he wrote his gospel. And if there was ever someone that we need to start pointing our children to and say, look at him, be wowed at what he has done, what some guy may be able to do on a basketball court or on the football field or on the golf links, that doesn't compare to what Jesus was able to do. And we need to develop within our young people and our children a sense of awe, not at a three-point shot, but at what Jesus was and did. And if we select our heroes and our role models wisely, we'll be better people for it. And so I want us to look at an event, a day in the life, so to speak, the day in the life of Jesus this morning. And I know that it's more than just a day here, but this is what life was like for Jesus. I say he should be our role model. Well, why? What is it about Jesus that stands out? I want us to look at a few things in Luke chapter 7 this morning. There are four things that I want us to see and worthy of modeling our life after with respect to Jesus. And the first thing is this: Jesus complimented people. Have we gotten beyond that? Are we too busy? Are we too inwardly focused that we can no longer be courteous? That we can no longer compliment a person? That we can no longer say, hey, you know, that was really good. I really appreciate the way you did that. We need to be saying those things because that's what Jesus did. Look at Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. There's a man who is a centurion, and he has a servant, and that servant is sick and needing healed. And so this centurion servant, or this centurion, sends some men to Jesus, and he was ready to die. Verse 2, listen to what it says. Verse 3, so when they heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they had came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. He loves our nation. He's built us a synagogue. And so they had this conversation, and Jesus says, well, I want to go to his house. And he meets the centurion, and the centurion says, don't trouble yourself, Lord. I'm not even worthy that you should enter in under my roof. Therefore, I didn't even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word and my servant will be healed. See, this servant says, I know Jesus. I've heard of him. I've seen what he's done. I've heard the reports. So he sent some men. He didn't go to him himself. He didn't feel worthy to stand in the presence of Jesus. So he sends some of his servants and says, ask him if he would just speak the word, and I know that my servant will be healed. Jesus is impressed by this man. The man says, goes on and says, I too am a man of authority. I have servants and I know that all I have to do is speak and it'll be done. And I know that you are a man of authority and all you have to do is just say the word and my servant will be well. That faith that centurion had resulted in his servant being granted the wish and that he did indeed find healing on that occasion. But notice what Jesus did, verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd, he's not saying this for the man's benefit alone, he says it for the man in front of everybody and says, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What Jesus did was brag on a man publicly. Here's a man who had great faith. It impressed Jesus. He was impressed by his absolute trust that Jesus could do what he was wanting done. And Jesus didn't just like chalk it up in his mind and say, well, that's impressive. I hope I can run into some more men like that along my journey. Jesus stops. And he addresses everybody, said, listen, do you see this guy? I have never seen faith like this man has. Never. Not even in Israel, among God's own people. This man's an outsider. He's a centurion. I haven't even found this kind of faith in our own people. What do you think that must have done to that man when he heard Jesus say that about him? Well, it probably did what it does to you when someone compliments you. It makes you stronger. It makes you buckle down even harder. It makes you proud in a good sense, if I can use that word in a good way. It makes you proud. It encourages you. It lifts you up. You know, Proverbs 3 and verse 27 tells us that we're to not withhold honor to whom honor is due. So, are there things you need to say to people maybe sitting in the pew next to you? Are there people that you know that have lived godly, faithful lives and you know that in your head and you've acknowledged it? It's one of those things you put a check mark by, I really appreciate so and so. You might go home and talk to your wife or your husband or your children about something that so and so did that is really a good thing and you brag on them to your kids or to your spouse. But have you taken the time to go tell them, thank you? I really appreciate that. Do you know how many, in this assembly right here, do you know how many good works are being done every day by people? Not only for others, but among ourselves. Just people doing good. Because that's what Jesus did. He went around doing good. And we're his followers and we're trying to do the same thing. Listen, if you know someone who's doing good, before you leave here today, follow your role model and say, listen, I appreciate that. Get somebody else. Do it when you're in a group and say, listen, I really appreciate what you've done. You know, there are times when it's appropriate and when it's good to publicly to say it in front of friends. You're standing in a group of people, say, hey, guys, listen up. You know what he did for me the other day? You know what she did for me? I just want you to know what a good person this is. Those are the kind of things that, well, Romans 14 and verse 19, those are the kind of things that make for peace and edify one another. That's what Jesus did. Jesus complimented people, and so should we. And there's so many things, so many people here that we ought to be busy doing that. Don't let that go undone. Let's be a people that speak what we know and what we feel about each other. Let's not keep it inside. Jesus didn't. And because of that, I wonder what impact long lasting. I wish there was, the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey had. What happened to the centurion after Jesus bragged on him? I'd like to know the rest of the story, but I don't. But there are so many things that could go well if we just give that nudge of motivation and encouragement. So Jesus complimented people. Look further in Luke chapter 7, and we talked about this one a few weeks ago. But not only did he compliment people, but he had compassion for people. Jesus is now walking, and he comes near the gate of the city, and there's a dead man, verse 12. He's being carried out. He's the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So there's an elderly or a widow lady whose son is dead, and the funeral procession is taking him outside the city. And there's some men who are carrying the coffin, on their shoulders or down here, I don't know how they did it. But they're carrying this man's coffin through the streets. They're taking him to his burial. And Jesus happens to be right there coming in as they're going out, and he sees this. And the text says there was a large crowd from the city with her. And when the Lord saw her, verse 13, he had compassion. He was touched. This poor lady, she's lost her husband and now she's lost her son. No doubt she was broken. It doesn't tell us, but as you're, wouldn't you look broken as a person who has just lost her son? And he had compassion on her and said, "Don't weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And they presented him to his mother. When I try to get my mind around that scene, and if I could just sit there on the street corner or sit on the curb and watch this happen, can you imagine? Get it out of the first century and put it right here in the streets of Carnes as you see a procession and you're at the cemetery and they're carrying the casket and a man comes up and touches the casket and the guy sits up. I wonder if this young man who had died said, "Hey, what's going on? What are all these people doing? Where am I?" I don't know what he would have said, but he sat up and began speaking. The people's response was, "God has visited us." What joy Jesus must have brought that mother. Indescribable. You wouldn't soon find her speaking evil of him. "This is a man who gave me my son back." How that must have grabbed her. What if someone could do that for us today? Well, let me ask you this. Let me tell you this. There is someone who can do that for you today. He can give your loved ones back. It's not all over at the grave. He'll cause all to rise from the grave someday, and we can have a reunion of those who trusted in him. Jesus showed compassion. He didn't have to do that. He could have let them walk right on and let life continue as it always did, but he was touched by this woman. Let's be people who are not calloused at what life throws at different people. Let's be people who can be touched. There are some folks that life is just a succession of tragedies. Have you, maybe you're one of them, or maybe you know people that have been like that. It's just like one thing after another, just bam, 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 nothing goes right for certain people. And then there are other people that just kind of glide through life, and it's just so easy and graceful, and good things just lay down in front of them. For those who struggle, they need someone to touch their lives like Jesus touched the lives of people upon whom he was compassionate. We need to look at people and find opportunities to show the compassion of Jesus. Oh, that person's hurting. Do I drive by or do I get involved? Oh, that person got some bad news. Do I just like chalk it up and say my private prayer for them? Or do I reach out and risk all the vulnerabilities that come with that? Jesus was compassionate. Let's use him as a role model. And let's not just walk by and let others walk by us. Let's reach out and touch their lives as Jesus did. He complimented people. He showed compassion to people. And look at the third thing, Luke chapter 7. He also cared for people. Luke chapter 7, if you'll begin with me in verse 36. And I'll say this, Bill Watkins, when he was here for our lectureship, brought out some really good points on this, and I won't do justice to what he did with it, but I want to share and bring to your attention or remembrance some of the things that he had talked about. In this passage, there was a Pharisee, his name was Simon. He asked Jesus to come to his house and eat with him. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner, verse 37. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. So Jesus comes into this house, invited to a dinner. Imagine having lunch, inviting some friends over, and someone burst in uninvited and starts crying and making a scene and falls down behind one of your invited guests and takes her hair and wipes all over his feet with her hair, takes this oil and pours on his feet, and her tears are actually flowing and she's wiping his feet. The whole place has to be looking at this scene that this woman has committed. A lot of us would be looking to throw her out. I wonder if Simon was thinking the same thing. Because Simon knows who she is. She's a sinful woman. And he reasons in his own mind, if this man really were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is at his feet. And Jesus knew what Simon was thinking. And I find it interesting that it says in verse 40, and Jesus answered and said to him, Simon hadn't said anything out loud, but Jesus is going to answer him. He's answering his thoughts. He didn't even verbalize this, but Jesus knows what he's thinking. And he said to Simon, listen, let me ask you something, Simon. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave both them. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, You have rightly judged. Consider, as you know, the situation, verse 44 continuing. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, this woman is down on the floor behind him. She's a sinner. And she's crying and wiping Jesus' feet with his hair. He's talking to Simon. He turns around to face the woman, but he's talking still to Simon. And he asks Simon this question in verse 44. Do you see this woman? Well, what kind of question is that? Do you see? Of course he sees this woman. I mean, she came in and crashed his party. He was having lunch for some folks and she's crashed it and made a scene and is doing all this stuff and filled the house with fragrant smell. What? Yeah, of course I see her. But did he see her? Oh, he saw a sinner. He saw a woman that maybe he had seen on the street corner. He saw a woman that the other respectable, reputable women in town would not have cared much for. Probably talked about her. Probably wouldn't speak to her if they saw her on the street. They were probably threatened by her because of what she might be able to do with their own husbands. He saw a woman that probably was not able to go to the well in the morning of the day, the cool of the day, to collect and gather water, because that's when all the women went and she wasn't going to be welcome among them. She probably would have, like John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman, gone to the well at a time of day that was probably the most inconvenient, but it was when no one was there to bother her. Yeah, Simon saw the woman, but all he saw was a sinner. Jesus saw more than that. When a few years ago, my grandmother, my mom's mom, Grandma King, when my grandma got to a certain age, she developed Alzheimer's. And it progressed as that does, and she got to the point where she was completely helpless. For a long time, for a little while, more than a year, she lived at our house. And then when it got to the point where we just couldn't care for her, my mom couldn't care for her, she eventually was moved to a nursing home. But I can remember coming home from college and my grandmother sitting there. And if you were to ask, or if a friend of mine were to come over and say, if I were to say, do you see that lady in the back bedroom there? Or do you see that woman sitting over there in that chair in the living room? Yeah. Well, what do you see? To them, they would have seen an old lady. They would have seen a woman that couldn't get around. They would have seen a woman whose eyes were blank, that just didn't seem to be there. That's what they would have seen. But if you ask me, what do I see? I would have seen so much more. I would have seen her as, I could picture her as a baby being born to my great-grandparents and the joy that that must have brought them. I could see my grandma as a little girl, just like little girls are today, wearing a long dress, skipping down a dirt road in West Virginia on her way to a one-room schoolhouse. I could see that. I could see my grandmother when she was smitten with love and ended up marrying my grandfather. I could see her when she held her own children for the first time and got down in the floor and played. I could see a woman who, when we would go visit her house, we stayed in the basement, and it was cold in the wintertime and kind of damp. And my grandma made dozens and dozens of quilts, and she would put all of them on us as we slept in the basement. There was no way we were going to get cold, and there was no way we were going to roll over either. I mean, they just held us down. There were so many. But that's what I could see. I could see a lady who had events in her life that must have broke her heart and that would have sent her to bed at night, with tears in her eyes. You see, we'd see two different things. A stranger off the street would just see an old person who has a blank stare. But I could see more in her than that. And that's the way Jesus looks at us. Thank God he doesn't look at us as just sinful people. But he sees more to us than that. And this is what he sees, because he asks him, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. And you didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. He saw way more. All Simon could see was a sinner. All Jesus could see was this woman is penitent and trying to express her love to me. He showed compassion. He didn't view her just as a sinner. He cared for her. And whereas Simon just identified her as a sinful woman, Jesus elevates her. She's more than that. Well, she may be a sinful woman, but she is so much more than that and has demonstrated that here by the things that she's done in the short time she's been present. In fact, she's done more for me than you have, Simon. Compassion, he complimented, he cared for people. And then look at the last thing, and it's he changed people. This woman, this sinful woman, look at what the Bible says. Excuse me, that shouldn't be 74, it should be 47. I'm dyslexic. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little was forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And as you go down and read again in verse 50, then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus took this sinful woman and he changed her. Oh, she had to respond. She was a sinful woman, but she had recognized Jesus for who he was and had humbly fallen at his feet and worshiped and expressed her appreciation and love for him. And because of that, Jesus says, I forgive you. Those sins aren't on your account anymore. I forgive you. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. We can still come to Jesus today, humble ourselves, recognize him for who he is, and he will forgive us. He'll change us. That's what Jesus does. He changes people. And so as you look at Luke chapter 7, if you're looking for a hero, I think I've found one for you. Because all the things he did right here are all within our ability to emulate, but boy, they're challenging. To compliment people, to remember to do it, to love a person enough to do it in the first place. Don't just keep it to myself. I need to verbalize, I need to say those things that will make a difference in the lives of other people. Let's do that. That's what Jesus did, to show compassion on people. To reach out and touch and not just let people pass me by. To stop the procession and say, I care. That means that we have to get involved. It means that, there will be time spent that I could be doing other things, but I'm going to be tied up here. But Jesus, that's what he did. And that's what we need to do. And it makes a difference with people. Jesus cared for people. He didn't just see sinful women, a sinful woman. He saw a woman who was sorry for her sins and recognized him as Savior. He changed people because of it. He offers forgiveness. Let's be more like Jesus. We've got such a great role model in Scripture. We need those role models. Let's teach our children to turn to Jesus and let's share with them who Jesus was, because he's all that we need. Anyone else is going to disappoint us eventually, but Jesus never will. And if you're here this morning and you're not yet a child of God, I want you to obey the gospel. Follow this man who is greater than any other man who ever walked on this earth. He'll change your life. He'll give you heaven. If you're here this morning, you're not yet a child of God, why don't you obey the gospel? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He asks you to follow him in that. If you haven't done that, will you do that this morning? If you're a child of God already but unfaithful, pray. Seek his forgiveness. Renew yourself and your commitment to him, and he'll be faithful and just to do that. This sinful woman just fell at his feet and showed penitence and sorrow. And Jesus said, I forgive you. If you're a child of God and you fall at his feet today, he still has that same heart. And if you need to come and ask God to forgive you, he'll do just that. If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you come as we stand together and sing?